See everybody's face this morning as we get to worship God together. And that's what the theme of this morning in my sermon is going to be, worshiping particularly together, which is something that oftentimes we can neglect, but as we'll go through this sermon this morning, we'll see why that is so important. But the scripture this morning is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 23 and 25. And as Pastor Bobby so lovely does every week, I really enjoy this myself too. So if you, the Bible is the infallible, inerrant word of God, and let us stand together as we as I read this scripture in honor of our King Jesus. So let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Word of God for the people of God. Okay, be seated. So before we get into this, I know yesterday was an exciting day for some of us football fans, and there's one unfortunate team I will not name that had a difficult go at it, but maybe they'll get back in the saddle next week and on the win train. But this morning, we're all gathering together in worship, each one of us, even the people online. You guys are here and worshiping with us. Even if you're sitting drinking coffee and eating donuts from your couch, you are worshiping with us, and you are enjoying this connection that we have. In the New Testament, the church did the same thing. They got together, and they worshiped together. They ate together, it says, and then the book of Acts talks about how they did all things together, because they were a community and connected to one another. The word for church in the Greek is called ekklesia. Ekklesia. I know if you know Spanish, the word for church sounds very similar to that. But the word ekklesia means church, or a people called out to God. Called out to God. And as the church, we are the ones that are called out to God. We are supposed to be separate. We are supposed to be set apart and be holy, which would be set apart from the world itself, and instead be resting and abiding in God. You know, we're supposed to be different from the world around us. You know, it's the saying, we're in the world, but not of the world. This is what we are, that's what the church means. That's what we as a church are supposed to be like. You know, we're part of something bigger than ourselves, because we are a part of God's kingdom, not our own little kingdoms that we try to establish, not the world, because what's the song, kings and kingdoms shall pass away, but there's nothing like the name. But Jesus is eternal, and our call is to be with Him and not of the world. You know, we're connected. You know, us Methodists like to use the word connection all the time. It's because each Methodist church, we're connected, but we're also connected with the greater body of Christ and other denominations, because we are Christians, and all Christians are connected under the same world that God is in control of. You know, millions across the world right now are doing exactly what we're doing, sitting and worshiping, singing some great songs, listening to someone bring the word to them, but each person is together in this connection of worshiping Christ, of worshiping God together. You know, when I was a kid, I remember my first experience of the worship services. You know, I sat in the lower, I went to a rather large church, and at 2,000 people in the service type large, and we'd sit down in the bottom. And I'd always want to see all the little older kids in the balcony wanting to have a good time. They looked like it was fun to me, so I ended up getting to go up there eventually. And I remember we didn't really pay attention to what the pastor was saying. We were more concerned with who could throw a paper airplane as close to the front of the balcony before it goes over the edge. I don't remember if any of them actually went over the edge. I assume they probably did, but we just got up there, played games. We weren't really paying attention. We just wanted to be with our friends. And I remember we sang the songs, though. I'll say that. Making a joyful noise is all I can say about that. And then in high school, I started to realize that being in the church, actually listening to what the pastor had to say, I started to realize the importance of that, probably because of my youth minister. He was very good at teaching us what it meant to be a Christian and showing us that it's always important for us to continuously grow in Christ. Matter of fact, I asked one of the interns one time, I said, you know, you know God better than anybody I know. And he said, no, I don't. He said, I'm learning more and more every day. I'll never know enough. I think that goes for all of us, but that's also why we come here, to fellowship in its community and worship together. You know, as my faith journey went on, I went through a lot of mission trips, and I started listening to the pastors and my mentors and my friends and family, and I understood why it was so important to join together in worship on Sunday morning. Now, in college, I did that Thursday nights with a campus ministry, but I knew the importance and the value of getting to know who God was together. You know, I even enjoyed that singing, as I said a minute ago. I started to enjoy singing. I even joined the youth choir. It was great. I enjoyed it. But, you know, I don't know if I sing that good, but a couple of weeks ago, I don't know exactly what day it was, I left my mic on during the Gloria Patri at the traditional service. So if you would like to go see if I make a joyful noise or if I sound good, you're welcome to go try and find that. But so going to church, it's not about just coming to get something for yourself. It's not about coming to for yourself. That's a part of it. We get to come and we grow individually through our faith. But it's about this corporate church, you know, all of us. Going to church is when we bring our desire with God, for God, with us. So when you sit in these pews or these seats or pews or wherever you're at, or your couch for Facebook, you're bringing your desire to know more about God to the service. And that's something we have to think. We don't just come to take, we come to give. We come to give that worship to God as a body. You know, giving to God and giving to others, not just learning and growing individually. Now, it was a few years ago now, when all of the churches seemed to have to just shut down due to the COVID pandemic. Did anyone feel like they were disconnected during that time? Anybody feel that? I did. I did a lot. You know, I lived out in Graceville, Florida, and the only people I would see, even on Sunday, especially Sunday mornings, were my neighbor's goats. Had about 150 of them, and they would come by, walk by my house, and they'd stop to look at me, or maybe I'd give them some food, but that was all I saw. I felt so disconnected from the family of God during that time. I had to grow myself. I would watch some sermons on TV, but it just wasn't the same. It wasn't the same as being involved. It wasn't the same as being around other people. You know, it felt like I had left my coat off on a cold day, and I didn't have time to go back and get it, and I'm walking around in the 20 degrees with a t-shirt on. You know, it was like I knew something was missing, and it was obvious something was missing because I was cold. The same with not being able to go to church. I felt disconnected, not from God, but to the family of God. And that was, I was really missing that community of faith, and I know we all probably did during that time. But thankfully, we are able to join together again, including online. That's another way we can join. But A.W. Tozer is one of my favorite authors, Christian authors. I've read probably every book he's ever wrote. But in this, what he said about worship, he says, without worship, we just go about miserable. We just go about miserable. And that's how I felt when I'm disconnected from the church. I feel miserable. Because you know you're missing something, and you're missing the joy of worshiping together and being in this community of faith. So back to Hebrews. I'm going to look at this again. This book was written to a church that was on the verge of giving up. Not just giving up going to church, but absolutely giving up the faith. We're going to go back to worship the pagan gods we had before. We just can't do it. It's costing us money because we have to do business. We cannot worship Christ because it was outlawed at the time. We have to do all these things. It's just not worth it. But the author of Hebrews was basically saying, hey, don't give up. Do not give up. Don't give up. Don't waver in your faith. Stay strong. And in this verse, chapter 10 of Hebrews, verses 23 to 25, it does say, hold fast to the hope. Don't waver. It says, let's consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. So don't waver in your faith, the author's telling these, but he's also telling us. So oftentimes we can be just like them. You know, I just don't have time. I don't have time to go, or I don't feel like going, or I'm having a difficulty waking up in the mornings, you know, because I watched the Pac-12 game until 2 in the morning the night before, or whatever it is. And I have friends that will say over the years, I just can't wake up to go to church. I'm like, well, you know, just set your alarm a little earlier, get you about a couple coffee, and then later on that afternoon, I'll see a picture of them at the golf course at 9 a.m. On Facebook. So on 9 a.m., they were at golf. They woke up early to go play golf on Sunday morning, but they did not wake up early to go to church. But that's not a, I don't mean to step on anybody's toes there, but I know that that can be a thing that we see. You know, we're not supposed to swerve. There's another verse that says, do not swerve, hold unswervingly. Do not swerve from the faith back and forth from the world to God, back and forth, back and forth. Do not do that. And do not focus on the world's philosophies or the world's ways. Instead, focus on God's truth, the truth that's found in the scripture. And, you know, it sounds kind of familiar because I feel like these days there's a lot of people that seem to dip in and out, church, world, and they try to mix it together. You know, you can't put the world's ways into the church because God's ways are different. We're supposed to be set apart. You know, it talks about provoking one another. In the New Living Translation, the NLT, it says, motivate one another. In other words, urge each other along. That's why we're here together. When we're together, we urge each other along. Even if we don't talk to everybody in here, we kind of push each other to that throne of worship. So it's important for us to motivate one another because sometimes we need that motivation. You know, one of my buddies back in Graceful used to say, sometimes I just need a swift kick in the rear end, you know, to get going. And sometimes that's what we need. So we need to motivate one another sometimes to get back into involvement in the congregation, to learn, to worship and learn with one another, not just alone. We must be together, you know. Online church has made it easy for a lot of us to join in worship. Even if there's people that will see this 3 or 4 days from now, maybe even 3 or 4 years from now, seeing what we're doing this morning or each Sunday. But you know, they're joining, they're participating in that moment and able to worship where they're at. Because a lot of times they worship, it'll be a whole family watching it together. It's not just one person watching it. They're worshiping together when maybe they're out of town or maybe they're having health concerns or not able to make it, but they join online and it makes it an easy way for us to participate in worship. Especially for those that aren't able to get out of their homes anymore. I think it's a blessing for them to be able to have involvement in our church service each week. You know, it's a powerful way, a new way of connection and worship in the body of Christ. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've went and visited someone that's not able to get out the house very often, and they say, I'm so grateful that we can watch this on Facebook every week. Because I feel like I am a part of this church still, not just, sitting around not being able to come anymore. I can participate. And that's why that's a blessing in disguise. But it also can be something where well, I'm going to go play golf. I'll watch church later today, you know. But I think it's a blessing in this, for all of us. But, so he goes on to say, do these even more as the day approaches. Do y'all know what day that is? The day when Christ comes again, the hope of glory, the hope of when Christ returns. Because these people were kind of upset he hadn't already returned. You know, now this is about 2,000 years ago, and they were expecting him to come any day, just like we do. But this was that long ago, and they were getting frustrated that Jesus had not come back yet. But the author's really saying, hey, we've got to be vigilant because of the truths that are in the Bible. They have to be passed on to the generation and then the next generation and the generations to come. Because if these people in the book of Hebrews had just given up and not passed on the scripture, not passed on their faith to their children and their children's children, etc., then a lot of us probably wouldn't be in this room right now. But Paul, well, they think Paul wrote it, but Paul was saying you've got to know that that day is approaching. Get together even more because one day Christ will return. One day Christ will return. And when we come together in worship, it's this unifying time. It's a time of unity. Unifying under one thing, and that's the love of God and His grace. Love of Jesus, worshiping our King. It's unifying to longtime Christians. It's unifying to new Christians. And it's unifying to those who are just seeking God, to know who God is. Because we're all in here for the same reason, and that's to know what God is saying to us through His Word. And why? Because we know that the world doesn't have the answers. Everybody in this, we know the world doesn't have the answers. Only God does. And that's why we're here together. And that's why it's unifying, because we're all here for the same reason. We may take something completely different out of here, out of this worship service today, but we all came for one reason, and that is to learn about God. You know, He's the main actor in this world. You know, all that we do together in worship is worship of the same God, the only God. And we are grateful to be able to do these kind of things, you know. And we also are here to worship and know what God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ. So no matter if you're here, if you're broken, if you're struggling, if you have joy, if you have peace, we're all united in the hope of glory, the hope of glory that is found only in Christ. Now, we know that He's worthy of worship no matter what, for He is our King. He is our deliverer. Without Him, we have nothing. And that's why we have this unity in worship, regardless of anything, any other opinions we have. Everybody in this room will disagree on something at some level, whether it's what football team to pull for or what person to vote for, etc. But in this time, we are unified in God and in Christ Jesus. We also worship together because it keeps the fire going, so to speak. Keeps the fire going. Anybody ever been camping and had to build a campfire? You know, you put a bunch of sticks and logs on the fire. What happens if one of the sticks is pulled out the fire? It goes away. The fire goes out. The fire goes out. And the rest of the wood is still burning. All of those together, they're still on fire. They're still keeping that warmth going. But that one out is no longer sustained by the others, and the flame will be extinguished. Leviticus 6, 12 through 13. Leviticus 6, 12 through 13. This won't be up there. But it says, the fire on the altar should be kept burning. It shall not go out. Every morning the priest shall add wood to it, lay out the burnt offering on it, and turn into smoke the fat pieces of the offerings of well-being. A perpetual fire shall be kept burning on the altar. It shall not go out. So what's that mean? Why are we talking about that? It's kind of an odd verse, isn't it? Well, this is talking about what the Israelites had to do when they, where the priest had this fire that was initially lit by God himself, and it had to always be burning. Perpetual flame, perpetual fire should be there. And the only way you do that is if you keep putting more wood on it, or it'll get extinguished. You know, God himself lit that. So it was vital for them to keep it going because it was used in their process of atoning for their sins. You know, it was so vital that it was mentioned twice in that short text there. It was mentioned twice. You know, we don't do that anymore, of course. We don't have to present sacrifices for our atoning of sins. But that fire is still in us. When you accept Christ and the Holy Spirit is in you, that's like the fire. There's a reason why we have the cross and the flame in the Methodist Church, that we have that fire of the Holy Spirit in us. And it's going to burn brighter when we're worshiping together, just like a fire burns brighter with more sticks together. You know, the Holy Spirit is moving in us like that fire in our hearts, and it burns even brighter when we are all together because we are unified in worship. You know, if we don't keep that fire burning by joining together, whether it's online or whether it's here on Sunday morning or whether it's a Bible study or maybe it's just talking about God with your friends, etc., if you don't do those things, then we can be like that stick that's removed from the fire, the campfire, and it's gonna get extinguished because it's important for us to be together. Now, finally, we gather together to experience the living God. It's the key, the living God. If you'll notice in the Old Testament, a lot of times they said the living God. Why? Because all those other gods weren't real. In other words, they were dead gods. And our God is the living God. You know, it's the same living God we worship every Sunday morning together. Everybody throughout this world. You know, Psalm 84:2, Book of Psalms, chapter 84, verse 2, says, "My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God." To the living God. So the psalmist was writing this song or poem about the living God because he knew that this God was alive, unlike the rest of them. And he had this, he's like, "My soul faints for it. So I'm so want to worship God and sing for joy to this living God." And then in the book of Hebrews again, Hebrews 12, 28 through 29, Hebrews 12, 28 through 29 says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe," with reverence, with respect. "For our God is a consuming fire." A consuming fire. What does that mean? Does that mean he's trying to destroy everybody? No. There's actually a song about this, a band called Third Day wrote back when in the 90s, an excellent song. So God is consuming fire. That consuming fire, what it does is it burns away our sins, and it takes us away when we have this forgiveness, and it burns away that past we had. It consumes the past that we had because we're now a new creation in Christ. It takes our doubts away. We will always have doubts. I don't think there's anything wrong with having a doubt, but as you go to the scriptures, that consuming fire can just consume that doubt into a stronger faith. You know, worship is all about God, not about us. It's about God. And when we do this together in unity, it's more powerful. It's very powerful. And it's about how he's working each person in here's life. Each person in here, God is working in your life. Whether you know that or not, he is. And that's what worship contributes to that. You know, working in the lives of all believers, working in the lives of all those that are seeking. Either they're seeking God or they don't even know they're seeking God. They need to know that God is seeking them and he's moving towards them. Because we are God's priority because he wants all of us to join into his family. So we need to make it a priority to be a part of a gathering. a gathering of his children, a gathering of unity, and a gathering of worship. And as I started with a quote from A.W. Tozer, I'm also going to finish with another one. This guy's, if you've never read any of his books, I highly suggest it. My favorite one is The Pursuit of God, Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. But he says here, we must never rest until everything inside of us, every ounce of us, everything inside of us is worshiping God. We must never rest until everything inside of us worships God. Let me pray for us. God, we love you, and we know that each person in this room, we're all at a different point in our faith journey, whether we are looking and seeking to know you, whether we are finding new truths each day as we are as a seasoned believer, maybe we're a new Christian just learning the ropes. I pray that we know that you are working in all of our lives, and we know that as we worship together in unity, we know that we must have every ounce of us in worship of you. And we admit that sometimes we don't necessarily do that, but I pray that each one of us would find that time and that space to where we can worship you with everything inside of us, God. In your name I pray. Amen.